And we'll read a portion of this chapter again. I've been working our way through this chapter, and it's part of a really a long passage of the Lord's words that he is speaking to his disciples. Maybe it's one of only, I don't know, two or three times in his ministry. Maybe that's, we're not told exactly, but it might be just a very rare time in the Lord's ministry where we sort of slow down, that the biblical account slows down and goes moment by moment and records so many of the words that he spoke. Often you'll read an episode in his life, and then you might skip forward weeks or months to the next one recorded in the Gospels. But this is chapter after chapter from the same evening, the same meeting with his disciples, and it's unusual in that sense. And so we don't want to skip and overlook a lot of things. And so we go slowly through these passages as well. But John 15, verse 18, we've been looking at different elements in this chapter. It's a great chapter. And we see something else that he introduces here. In verse 18, he says, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." In these eight verses that we just read, the Lord Jesus Christ mentions love one time and some form of the word hate eight times. I find that remarkable. Talks about love once and talks about hate eight times. And of course, this love and this hate is all in the context of the world. It's not a godly love. It's the world's love. It's the world's hate. And of course, the Lord ought to know what he's talking about. He was very familiar with the world's love and hate. His own fellow Jews sought to kill him many times during his 3.5-year ministry. And 3.5 years, that really isn't very long. We all remember where we were during 2020. And remember how our lives were changed during 2020. Isn't it hard to believe it's been 5 years since 2020? It doesn't seem like that long to me. Some of the children are saying, "No, that was a lifetime ago. I don't know what you're talking about." That must be a sign of old age. But for adults, maybe 5 years ago, 2020, that just happened, right? Well, 3.5 years really isn't very long. And over, the Jews tried to kill him in that 3.5-year ministry. Now, with our technology, news travels the world in just a few minutes. But back then, the Lord walked everywhere. There were no newspapers. There was no social media. There was no radio or TV. News traveled much more slowly. And yet, in just 3.5 years, they tried to kill him many times. Luke 4:29 says that the Jews tried to throw him off a cliff to kill him. John 5:18 tells us the Jews sought to kill him. John 7 verse 1 says the Jews sought to kill him. John 8:59 tells us the Jews took up stones to stone him. John 10:31 says the Jews took up stones again to stone him. John 10:39 says the Jews sought again to take him. And of course, we know in John 15, it's within 24 hours of the time that Christ would be crucified, actually killed this time. over and over, the Jews were trying to kill him. Of course, we know the Jews didn't treat the Pharisees like this. They loved the Pharisees as the world loves its own, but they hated Christ, and the world still hates Jesus Christ. It supports some of Christ's statements. You might say, how can you say the world hates Jesus Christ? I mean, Christianity, that's one of the biggest, if not the biggest religion in the world. The biggest, well, they call it Christianity, but you look at all these denominations that call themselves Christian, and you see a lot of persecution in the past and in the present. A lot of persecution of true Christians. Just because we use the word Christian doesn't mean it's like Christ. Just because people say that Jesus Christ was a good man doesn't mean they actually love him. There are many statements, maybe I shouldn't say many, there are some statements that Christ made that have been diluted and have been adulterated. That means mixed with impurities. There have been some statements that of Christ that have been diluted or adulterated until they are more palatable and so that people can get behind them and support them. Oh, I love what Christ said here, you know, and they might give a paraphrased version of what the Lord says, but the world still condemns many things that Christ taught. Things like divorce and remarriage is sin. The world doesn't like that. Things like lust in your heart is adultery. It is moral sin. The world doesn't like that. Things like self-righteousness is sin. The world rejects that statement. Things like Christ is the only way of salvation, not of works, and that Christ is God the Son. The world doesn't like that. The world absolutely rejects that. In fact, if you study all of the religions that are out there, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter which one we're talking about. You study them all. Only biblical Christianity says that Christ alone is what saves. Every other religion and denomination of, quote, Christianity, every other one adds something to it. You must do this and believe on Christ. You must have this and Christ. Only Christ says, it's me and nothing else. The world doesn't like that. The world doesn't like the idea that there is no salvation without repentance. So while the world might claim to support Christ and claim to love Christ, it's not true. The world still hates Christ, as it always has. And yet our world claims that it is loving and tolerant. Love is a buzzword that makes us feel good about ourselves. And people convince themselves that they are loving, and to prove it, they chide others on how to be loving. You know, you need to love more. You need to love people more. And that makes me feel like I'm loving because I'm concerned about such things. But the world is not a loving place, because the world still hates Christ. It can't be a loving place when it rejects God, rejects Christ. And we read these verses and I think about what the Bible tells us about Christ. And it's a reasonable question. Why does the world hate Christ so much? Why did Christ so carefully warn his followers that they would be hated as well? Well, the answer is very simple, and it might sound paradoxical, but it can affect you and me just as easily as, you know, the world out there. You and I can be affected by the same reason as the lost world is. Here is the answer that I will explain to you as we go along here. It sounds paradoxical, but I'll show you how it's true. The answer on why the world hates, and this hatred, here's the title, hatred is a matter of love. Hatred is a matter of love. That's why the world hates Christ. Let's pray, and then I'll show you what I mean. Lord, would you teach us this morning? Help us to see the deceitfulness of our own heart. I pray that you would open the Word of God and speak to us from it this morning. I pray that you would work in hearts. Bring someone to salvation. Lord, this world is full of sinners who are already condemned and are on their way to a devil's hell, and yet you don't want them to end up there. You want them to be saved. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life because God loves the world so much. And so I pray for the lost here this morning, that they would not stay in their rejection and really hatred of Christ. They would come to the Lord in faith and repentance and be saved. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. John 15, verse 18, Jesus says, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." And he's saying here, they're going to treat you like they've treated me. If you are really a follower of me, Christ is saying, then they're going to have the same treatment for you that they gave to me. Christians are hated because of Christ. And we're going to kind of trace our way back here. Christians are hated because of Christ. No matter how friendly, if you're a Christian today, and by that I mean someone who has been born again, you've been born again. There was a day in your life, a moment in time, when you repented of your sin and you changed your mind about everything that you are. You didn't love your sin anymore. You saw it as God sees it, and you wanted to be free from it. You wanted to be delivered from it, and you turned away from it in your heart and your mind. You changed your mind, and you trusted Christ alone to rescue you from that condition, to cleanse you, to forgive you. His shed blood alone is what brings salvation. If there was a moment in time that you did that, you were born again. And just like a physical birth is a moment in time, on your birth certificate, there's a time and a date. That spiritual birth is like that. If you've been saved, no matter how friendly you are, no matter how professional you act, no matter how talented or accomplished you are, no matter how godly you are, the world will hate you if you are a follower of Christ. And I don't mean every single person you meet, you know, will shake their fist and curse you as you walk by, but the world system behind which is the devil, the world and the world system will hate all of those that follow Christ. Jesus says this, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they've persecuted me, they'll persecute you." If you stand for Christ, the world will hate you. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23 tell us about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. It's not illegal to be loving and long-suffering and patient and kind. And even those that are living that way, the world still hates. Why? Because they hate Christ. Christians are hated because of Christ. James 4:4 tells us, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Christians are hated because of Christ, and Christians make a serious error of judgment when they believe that they can be friends with the world. You can't be friends of both God and the world. It's impossible. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and the Lord is warning his disciples. And he's speaking very specifically to 11 men that were there in that room with him. But these truths apply to us as well. The world won't treat us exactly moment by moment, event by event, the same way, of course, because those lives were unique, just like our lives are unique. But the world has not changed. Sinners have not changed. If we live like Christ, the world will reject us. The world will hate us because they rejected our Savior. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So you can't love the Father truly and love the world at the same time. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Which one are you going to love? Something that passes away or something that abides? The world does not love God and will never love God. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Verse 13 says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. This is years later when John writes these words, very similar message to what Christ said in John 15. Look at chapter 5, 1 John 5, verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. So we see a huge gap, a huge chasm between God and the world. The world hates God, and to be friendship with the world is to be at enmity with God. It makes sense that true Christians would be hated because the world hates Christ. But then again, we still look at Christ and who he was. He was the harmless Son of God. He did good for people. He spoke truth. He loved people. He gave his life for people. And still we say, why would the world hate that? We see that it does. The Bible is very clear that it does. But why? Why would the world hate what John describes? John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What is there to hate? You look at what the Bible says about your sin, and you ought to say, what can avail to wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Christ. He wants to forgive me. He wants to take that burden of guilt away. Why would the world hate that person? Why would the world hate Christians? Well, because Christians are like Christ. Christ was killed by the devil's followers and the world's religious system. The Jews, that God's chosen people, the religious zealots, they were the ones that killed Christ. The world hates Christ, and so they hate Christ's true followers. It's possible to call yourself a Christian and be loved by the world. All you have to do is not be like Christ, but be like the world. So go back to John 15. We're describing and looking at what the world hates and why. The world hates Christians. Why? Because of Christ. Let's look at John 15, verse 21. It says, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Why do they hate Christ? Well, they hate Christ because of God the Father. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. And again, we ask, how could the world hate the Creator? What that doesn't make any sense. You read in Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 to 31, tell us about how God created man in God's image. He formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he creates the birds and the sea creatures and the animals, the land beasts, and he makes man in his image, and he gives man dominion over the earth. And the Bible says in Genesis 1, God beheld everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. God created a wonderful universe and essentially handed it to man on a silver platter, saying, this is yours. Dominate it. Be a good master over it. This is how you do it. I'll be here and help you. Just don't eat of this one tree. And man ate of the tree and became sinners. And now man hates God. Why does man hate God? What is there to hate? How could the world hate God the Father? The Father described in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How could someone hate a father like that? Imagine that you commit a terrible, heinous crime, and you're caught, and you're arrested, and put in prison, and you're on trial, and you're convicted as guilty. And then the person against whom you committed the crime comes and says, my son will pay the penalty. That person can go free. They'll pay the fine. They'll serve the prison term, and then you go free, and yet you hate the father that gave his son. Who would do that? That's completely illogical. We are the guilty ones. We are the sinners. God gave his only begotten son to rescue us from sin's penalty, and yet lost sinners hate God the Father. That doesn't make any sense. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. How could God the Father be hated? What has he done to deserve it? What has Christ done to deserve such hatred? Well, this hatred is a matter of love. And you say, that sounds like a paradox. I know, I'll explain it as we go, but it's important that we understand the connection here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. The first three verses describe sinners' terrible condition, sinners' vile and perverse way of living. But God, verse 4 says, but God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. This is the Father that we are talking about. And the world hates him. Why? How could this kind of father be hated? 1 John 4:7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Again, the world has a lot to say about love. And many, many poems and songs and movies and all kinds of things have been written and composed to talk about love and how wonderful love is. There would be no love if there weren't God, if God didn't exist, because God is love. He's the source of love. He's the only reason we know what love even looks like. And yet the world hates God. 1 John 4:8, chapter 4 goes on, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we all ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. You don't have true love without having God. 1 John 4:16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Again, in John 15, Jesus mentions hatred 8 times, and the world's love only once. Hatred is of the world. And the world hates God. And yet God is the source of love. He is love. How could the world hate God? Why does the world hate Christians? Because they're like Christ. True Christians are like Christ. Why does the world hate Christ? Because Christ is sent by God. Why does the world hate God? Look at John 15. We're getting closer to seeing how this hatred is a matter of love. God is hated because he does something very particular. John 15, verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. If there is not a rule made against a behavior, then you cannot break that rule. You cannot commit sin against the rule. It doesn't exist. And Jesus is saying, I am coming and I'm giving commandments. I'm exposing man's sin. And they don't like that. God is hated because he reveals man's sin. And you might say, well, I don't know if I agree with that, or that doesn't really make sense to me, because why would God be hated for that? Don't we all agree that we are sinners? And I've talked to a lot of people who are pretty casual about admitting that. Why they don't get angry at me, you know, they don't threaten to choke me because I bring up the idea that they're sinners. People admit that. I mean, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, sure. Yeah, I've made mistakes. I'm a sinner. What's the big deal? 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. No big deal. That's easy to admit. God is hated because he reveals man's sin. That's what Jesus is describing. Well, why does that cause hatred? Number four, God is hated because his holiness condemns man. Again, we don't mind admitting that we are all sinners. We don't mind admitting that we've all made some mistakes. We don't mind admitting that we would like to have some things to do over again. Yeah, I wish I would have done that differently. I can admit that. It's no big deal. Everybody has. We're all in the same boat, right? So it's pretty easy. But we don't like admitting that we are condemned before God. We don't mind admitting that we're all in the same boat. We've all made mistakes. We do not like admitting that we are condemned. That nothing we do in the flesh will ever be good enough. We don't like admitting that. We don't like admitting that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. We don't like admitting that we are in bondage to sin and that we cannot stop being sinners. We cannot break free from it. We don't like admitting that. John chapter 3. Turn over there if you would. John chapter 3, verse 16. When I already read verse 16. But we'll continue reading. God is hated because his holiness condemns man. We know we're not perfect. Oh yeah, sure, I've made mistakes. But we do not like admitting that we are condemned. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's not why Christ came, to condemn the world. He didn't need to come to condemn the world, because verse 18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Christ didn't come to condemn the world, because the world was already condemned. He is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Those who are doing evil do not like to be condemned. They don't mind admitting that they're not perfect. And you and I, and if you're lost people out there, we don't mind admitting that we're imperfect, but condemned, whoa, that's a little bit strong. I was talking to someone yesterday, and they were expressing this essentially a dislike for the idea that they and of themselves, who they are and in the flesh and this sort of thing, that they are rejected by God. God can't accept them the way they are. And that is true. God cannot accept you and me just the way we are. And I said to this person, I said, there is not a future condemnation for you. You are already condemned. The trial has been held. The evidence has been presented. The jury's verdict has come back. You're condemned. You're guilty. The sentence has already been declared. That's all in the past. You are already condemned. There is nothing left to be determined. If you are lost, the destination is already settled. It's already determined for you. And we don't like that. We sinners do not like being told that we're condemned. Because we like to think there is something else that I can do that will help my situation. If I work really hard, if I try, if I believe it sincerely, it will improve my condition. I talked to someone else yesterday. Their answer broke my heart. We were out knocking doors for outreach and doing these surveys, just asking brief questions to get people to think about their spiritual condition before God. And I asked this person, I said, how does a person get to heaven? And they said, well, you know, you have to be good and live like Jesus did and just believe these things. This is how a person gets to heaven. And I said, how do you know that that's true? And I said, and they said, well, I just believe it. It doesn't really matter if it's true. I just believe it. It doesn't matter if it's true. And I wrote that down. I quoted them just for my own benefit because I was shocked by that answer. It doesn't matter if it's true. I just believe it. In other words, my sincerity makes it enough. I really believe it. I'm really trying hard. I'm doing my best. And God's going to look favorably on that. That attitude denies the fact that sinners are already condemned before God. Because if you're condemned, again, the trial's over. There's nothing you can do to fix it. You're already condemned. Without Christ, you are condemned already, and that's why the world hates God. God's holiness is the reason that sinners must be condemned. God's holiness says, because you have sinned one time, you are permanently stained with that sin, and nothing you do will ever be good enough to reach God's holiness. It is a standard that is permanently and impossibly beyond our reach. There is no possibility of reaching God's holiness because you are sinners. We are sinners. That's what God says to us. And we don't like that. We say, no, I don't think so. I think I can do good works. I think I can try really hard and be very sincere. And God will say, oh, okay, I accept that. I think there's a chance and I'm going to keep working at it. We don't like being condemned. And because God is God, he doesn't change his mind. He doesn't change truth. He doesn't relax the standards. He is eternally, unchangingly holy. Then we reject his message because we don't like to be condemned. Christ didn't come to condemn because sinners are already condemned. Christ's ministry proved this condemnation. He demonstrates his holiness and preaches the truth and does great miracles, and sinners rebelled at that. It proved that sinners, lost sinners, are already condemned. Sinners don't want condemnation, they want approval. God's holiness reveals and condemns their sin. It doesn't give them approval. And so they hate God the Father, they hate Christ, and they hate Christ's followers. Why all this hatred? Again, hatred is a matter of love. What do you mean? Hatred for God is a matter of love for sin. Sinners hate God because they love their sin. And they're forced to choose. If you keep your sin, you cannot be approved by God. You cannot be forgiven. You are already condemned. You have to choose your sin or choose God. And sinners say, well, I love my sin, and so I will hate God. They don't hate God for his own loving characteristics and mercy. They don't hate God for those reasons. They hate God because they love their sin. Their hatred for God is a matter of love for their sin. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And a lot of people hear the truth, and they might say, well, you know, I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a drug addict. I'm not a serial killer. I'm not a gambling addict. I don't have big vices in my life. I'm a good person. But you're still condemned. Some people are addicted to their false beliefs. They're addicted to their pride. They're addicted to their self-righteousness. And if you're going to be saved, you have to let go of that. You have to reject your self-righteousness, your own ideas. You have to believe what God tells you to believe. You have to be humble. Otherwise, you are condemned. And sinners say, I think that's not right. I think it's another way. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." Lovers of their own selves. What kind of selves are they? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded. Men love those kinds of things. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. And we could ask, we could add self-righteous to this list. We can see these traits in many ways. So many sinful traits that are found in men. They love themselves. Again, I read John 3:19 earlier. It says, "This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." They didn't want to be shown the light because it would condemn their deeds. They wanted to keep those deeds hidden. They loved their sin, and so they hated God. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 8, God is speaking, and he says, "Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, 'See not,' and to the prophets, 'Prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us.'" This was the heart condition of Old Testament Israel. They did not want to hear the truth. They did not want to hear condemnation of their sin. They did not want to hear rebuke and correction of their lifestyle. They wanted to keep their lifestyle. And so they wanted to hear approval for their lifestyle because they didn't love God. They loved their sin. And God would not pander to that. He would not cater to that. He would not tell them lies. He will only tell us truth. And they didn't like that, and so they rejected God. They hate the Lord. And you and I still have this tendency. You and I still have this possibility, even as saved people. Oh, I love the Lord. And if you're saved, there is truly a love for God in your heart. There's the new man. There is the Spirit that resides in your heart. The Spirit can never love or hate. The Spirit cannot hate God. The Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit. But you and I still have a sinful nature, and we can still make that same choice that lost sinners make. No, I think I'd like to keep my sin here. I think I'd like to keep my ideas. I think I'd like to keep my own will, my own pride, my own autonomy here. I'm going to reject what God wants because I like this thing. Same choice. The world hates God because the world loves their sin. Hatred is a matter of love. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I think you're still in 2 Timothy. Chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Very similar attitude to Isaiah 30. And again, why do people want to hear fables? It doesn't matter if it's true, I just believe it. This is a typical attitude. This is why sinners hate Christ and his followers and his message. This is why sinners rebel against God and reject him. God is perfect and kind, but sinners hate him. Christ gave his life to save sinners, but they still hate him. True Christians love others and serve Christ and exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Not perfectly, we're still sinners too. But true Christians do these things, and the world still hates them. Why? Because the world loves its sin. And there might be some here today who are lost, and that's true of you. You love your sin. And if you're going to love God, you have to decide if you're going to love your sin more, or if you're going to turn away from that love and turn to God, which will mean that you hate your sin. Hatred is a matter of love. What are you going to love? You can't love both. You're either going to love God or you're going to love your sin. You can't love God and reject his words. If you really love God, it means that you're going to obey and believe and follow that. If you're going to love God, it means you have to hate your sin. But many do not want to hate their sin. They love their sin and they'd rather keep it. Sinners want to sin and still be approved by God. They want their sin and still avoid judgment. They want their sin and still have righteousness. But God, who is love, tells us in true love, he tells us the truth. He reveals our sin so that we can repent and so that he can forgive us. He wants us to see it. He reveals sinners' condemnation so that they can be saved and then justified. God makes an issue of sin, and so sinners hate him because they love their own sin. Their hatred of God is a matter of love for their sin. Is it this way with you? Have you been saved? When were you saved? When were you born again? You can't be a good person and earn your way to heaven. If you're going to be saved, it will be because you came to a place in your life when you saw your sin the way God sees it. And it turned from something that you love to becoming something repulsive and repugnant and abhorrent to you. And you said, there's nothing lovable there. It's disgusting. I hate that. I don't want it. I don't want to be that way, but I can't stop. I can't scrub up my life and clean it up. I can't stop doing this, but I must. It's evil. Lord, help me. And you turn only to Christ. If there's going to be any forgiveness, any cleansing, it's only because of Christ. Lord, you have to do it. This isn't a work it and get there on my own. Only Christ is the answer, but I hate my sin and I have to have Christ alone. And the Lord saves those people. But the world hates God because they love their sin. And as long as you love your sin, you will remain condemned and you will remain on the path to eternal judgment. Even after we're saved, and this is I'm shifting gears now. Once you are saved, you are always saved. You have a true desire to please God. In the new man, you do not love sin anymore, but you still live in the flesh, and you can still choose the pleasures of sin for a season. You can still love those pleasures in the natural man. You can still make those choices, and we have to continually die to the flesh. We have to continually reject that part of us and live and walk in the Spirit to please God, to love God, because that attraction for sin, it still resides in our flesh. We have to continue rejecting that fleshly choice that lost sinners make. As saved people, we can still make that choice. Doesn't mean we're lost. It doesn't cause us to lose our salvation, but it does mean we still have the same potential to begin loving our sin again. It's a danger for all. But the world hates God because they love their sin. But you don't have to stay that way. You don't have to stay condemned. You can come to Christ and be saved and be forgiven. And he wants to do that in your life today if you're lost. Let's pray. Lord, would you work in hearts? Help us to reject.